Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're tuned in to Columbo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio. Follow the mover and shaker, award-winning author and host, seen on TV and radio, Rose Columbo. Every Wednesday, Rose interviews prominent experts and authors on politics and social justice. Call in and listen or ask the guests a question at 646-564-9742. Now, here's Rose.
Hi, everyone. Here's Rose Columbo, and you're listening to Columbo Chronicles Live at Worldwide Online Radio, Blog Talk Radio. And I'm here just for you every Wednesday. And we have a new time, so write it down. We're here from noon to 1 p.m., and that's on the West Coast in the good old USA. And on the East Coast, that would be 3 to 4 p.m. Maybe it's your break, maybe your dinner, or maybe you're on your way home. So wherever you are in the world, check in your state or your country to find out the time. And of course, we welcome everyone who listens from around the world in a myriad of countries. And you are so welcome, and we are so grateful to have you listening to Columbo Chronicles every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on the West Coast. All shows are archived, so you can always come back to www.blogtalkradio.com/Columbo Chronicles and listen to your favorite guests or continue to listen to a show maybe you weren't able to complete, and you just have to scroll down and find your topic and your guests, and you can listen at your convenience anywhere in the entire world. Isn't that fantastic what social media has done for the world of Hollywood and for the world of communication? So, it appears that we have a breaking story. There was a knife-wielding attack at the China train station, according to CNN, and 28 people were killed and 113 were wounded. And that was with a knife, not a gun. And so one of our social media friends asked the question, was it a tactical or a fully automatic knife? And that's because in America, they are attempting to dismantle and eliminate the Second Amendment, which is the right of every American to bear arms, unless they're a known criminal or gang member who has been convicted, and or a cartel member or a radical or a terrorist who is on the FBI watch list, and or someone from a foreign nation who is illegally here and is bearing arms or stockpiling guns. So there's many reasons why certain people cannot have the right to bear arms, which makes common sense. But in America, every legal law-abiding American, by law, supreme laws of the land, have the right to bear arms in order to defend themselves, their family, their property, and to defend their country when a foreign enemy invasion occurs and the government calls up a militia, who would be we, the people. And we, the people, would be worthless if we weren't armed against foreign enemies who are armed and invade our nation. And we know what happens to countries around the world who end up being disarmed. There generally comes the dictatorial, tyrannical, totalitarian dictatorship and genocide. thousands or millions of people have been killed because they were disarmed in their countries. So we want to send our prayers to China and to the families and the victims of this knife-wielding attacker who killed 29 people at a train station and injured 113 people and didn't fire one shot. And in America, by the way, the knife is the number one weapon used to kill people in America. Hammers are also very popular. And in my opinion, the number one killer is drugs, opioids, whether legal or illegal. Americans are addicted to drugs in far too many cases, and more teenagers are dying from drugs, and then they go party, and they drink, and then they get in their cars and they drive. So we have drugs, illegal and legal, that can alter the mind and create suicidal tendencies and homicidal tendencies, which generally are the lone shooters we're talking about, or they are mentally disturbed people who snap because they've been bullied or for revenge or jealousy and extreme anger. They snap, which is a mentally disturbed person as well, even if it's momentarily. So no person with a sound mind and owns a gun or a knife or a hammer or rope or poisons is going to kill people if they have a sound mind. The only people who kill other people are mentally disturbed people, even if it is a police officer. There are mentally disturbed police officers as well who, out of anger or hate or prejudice or have personal problems, sometimes snap or just have a twisted badge and a twisted heart and a twisted mind, and they kill people in cold blood who are unarmed with their hands up and at their mercy. Those police officers need to be removed because the majority follow their training and they don't kill innocent people. So a badge should not give any police officer the right to murder someone in cold blood, especially with their hands up, unarmed, and begging for their life, which happened recently and has happened in the past. And that, in this particular case that I'm speaking of, it's a video you can look up, posted by the NewYorkTimes.com, and the title is Video Shows Daniel Shaver, S-H-A-V-E-R, can look this up anywhere in the world, pleading for his life before shot by this police officer who was not punished for killing this young person with his hands up, begging for his life, shot him in cold blood and murdered him. And he was acquitted. The officer was acquitted of murder. This has to stop, and I don't know what's going on in this country, but it's not just black Americans who are being shot. It could be anyone today if they have a twisted badge and a twisted mind and they haven't been weeded out. And once, a long, long time ago, I read an article that the New World Order was training and hiring police officers when they were ready to transform America into a new world order, which some people refer to as the end times, and they would only hire and train police officers who were willing to shoot targeted Americans without conscience. So if they got orders, for example, after they disarmed Americans, to shoot non-compliant Americans who disagree with the New World Order as a genocide, which happens, as I stated, to countries who are disarmed many, many times, as history does repeat itself. These robocops who are brainwashed and without conscience would shoot Americans, innocent Americans, which has been done in America at Kent State, at Waco, at Ruby Ridge, guns pointed at the Bundy Ranch, and then at the Finicombe Ranch, where Mr. Finicombe, the rancher, was shot to death for no reason, basically. And so, yes, America's government has been ordered by presidents and attorney generals and their staff to kill Americans, to fire on Americans. And if people recall, Obama did a litmus test of the military during his regime and asked how many and who would fire on Americans if ordered to do so. And that has always bothered me as to why he performed that litmus test. So, or any other president such as Bill Clinton, who ordered the FBI and other agents to Waco and to Ruby Ridge when Americans, men, women, children, and a dog, and pregnant women were murdered by our American government, who we taxpayer fund, without due process of law. So when we talk about due process of law, this man in this video, who was shot to death by this police officer, who was acquitted of murder, and in cold blood shot Daniel Shaver as he pleaded for his life on video, fired on an American. So if they're firing on Americans now and in the past, just think about it for a second. What if that was your child? What if that was you? What if that was your spouse, your mom, your dad, your grandparents? What would you do? How would you feel? Would you feel as if you're still in America? Would you still believe in equal justice for all Americans? I just want you to think about that. Because what happens to other people, regardless of race, regardless of ethnic background, regardless of political views, put all that aside. We're all human beings. We're all Americans. And under the Constitution, we are guaranteed the right to life and due process of law. And this is supposed to be the most humane in the world. Well, when we witness cold-blooded murder by people we taxpayer fund and are put in positions of trust, why aren't the American people marching against this? I'm just asking you, because I've been a longtime advocate for justice for over 20 years, and I have seen plenty of injustices. And if Americans don't wake up fast and allow this type of behavior to continue, where people are being murdered in cold blood and the police, the bad apple cops, because most are not bad apples, and I support the police, of course. What would we do without them? But the bad apples must be weeded out, and they must be held accountable and punished and removed from the police force. Think about it. Think about and put yourself in that position. What if that was you with your hands up in the video begging for your life or your child or your loved one? Think about it, and how would you feel about it? Because what happens to other Americans can happen to you too and your loved ones. And on that note, that's Rose's political rant for the day. We're going to enter into a more fun time and entertaining and educational and empowerment. And we're going to enter into the world of experts and authors, which is always exciting because we have a dynamic guest today. Her name is Teej, T-E-E-J, Mercer, M-E-R-C-E-R, Teej Mercer. What a great name. And she is a chief noisemaker of Media Mavericks Academy. And as the chief noisemaker of the Media Mavericks Academy, Teej uses her insider expertise as a 20-plus year Hollywood veteran to coach her Mavericks how to unapologetically rock their own genius on networks like ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, CW, and on shows like The Steve Harvey Show, The Doctors, and Dr. Oz. Teej's Mavericks have also displayed their authority in The Huffington Post, Psychology Today, one of my favorites, Inventor's Digest, The Breakfast Club, and too many radio shows and podcasts to even count. So we're going to take a break, and as soon as we come back, we're going to speak to our really dynamic guest, Teej Mercer, and she is going to tell us how we can book ourselves on television without a publicist. That is going to be very interesting and exciting to most of us. So stay tuned. We will be back in just a moment on Colombo Chronicles Live. You're listening to The Rose, Rose Colombo.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Colombo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
That's right. We do not want to have to send the familia to have to get you to listen to Colombo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio. And we're very excited to have you, our audience, with us today to enter into the world of experts and authors.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, so listen up, because we have a four-time author. Teej Mercer is nicknamed the walking exclamation point and the beast in media streets, and has spent over two decades influencing the lives of millions through her storytelling for television. As an award-winning TV editor, her resume is peppered with notable names such as VH1, MTV, OWN, Bravo, DreamWorks Studios, The Walt Disney Company, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, oh, my favorite, Access Hollywood, The Bachelor, Swamp People, Clean House, My Cat from Hell, L.A. Hair, Bar Rescue, just to name a few, and publicity and DVD features for gigantic box office hits such as Shrek, Chronicles of Narnia, The Incredibles, Cars, Princess Diaries, Cinderella, oh, my favorite, are also in her arsenal, plus much more. So we're going to say hello to Teej Mercer, and we're going to ask her about her story about her mother when she was a child. And Teej's mother often begged and tried to bribe her for just 5 minutes of no talking. Let's find out why from Teej herself. Hi, Teej. How are you today? And welcome to Colombo Chronicles.
Thank you, Rose, for having me. This is exciting. I'm excited about this. This is the first time I get to come play with you.
That's true. And I like to bring new people into my sandbox.
Awesome. So, let's play.
Let's play. Well, I read an interesting little clip about you, and it had to do, and I love stories about the background and the childhood of my guests. And it says, as a loquacious child who loved to tell stories, your mom begged and tried to bribe you just for 5 minutes not to talk. What was that all about?
I have always, Rose, been a storyteller. So I would always have something I would have to say, just something. And so my childhood nickname with my family is Tonnie, T-O-N-N-I-E. And so mom would always go, like, Tonnie, just give me 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, no talking, just 5 minutes. And, Rose, I promise you, in that 5 minutes, I come up with everything ever that I needed to say. Like, it just hit me like I can't wait any longer. And sometimes she would even resort to trying to bribe me, like, I'll give you a dollar if you just give me 5 minutes. And let's just say my piggy bank was never in jeopardy of overflowing because I never could make it. And, you know, you use the word loquacious. The reason why, Rose, can I tell you, the reason why I know the meaning of loquacious is because my eighth grade English teacher, Mrs. Douglas, and, you know, no matter where you move me in the class, I still would find people to talk to because I talk to everybody. And so my last name is Mercer, so she always calls my last name, and she was like, Mercer, you are so loquacious. I'm putting you right here by the door so I can see you. And I was like, Ms. Douglas, what does loquacious move mean? You need to look it up because it's certainly you. And so I looked it up, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm loquacious. And so the best thing ever, though, Rose, was last year my mother – I live in Los Angeles, but I'm from Jackson, Tennessee, so my family still is in Jackson. So my mother is this amazing teacher and community service-oriented person, and so she was getting an award, and so I surprised her and went home, and Mrs. Douglas, my eighth-grade English teacher, happened to be there. Now, I haven't seen Mrs. Douglas. You know, I'm 45 years old, and I haven't seen Mrs. Douglas, and I can't remember when. And I ran up to her. I was like, Mrs. Douglas, guess what? And she goes, yes, loquacious. And I said, guess what? People pay me now to talk. Can you believe that? People actually invite me to come run my mouth.
I love that story.
I never, Rose, ever miss an opportunity to remind my mother, my, you know, somebody paid me to talk now. You know, I just did a TV show and they paid me to talk. I never let her live it down.
And see, and now your piggy bank will never be without funds.
Exactly. Good. That's a great way to look at it. I love that.
See, you turned something that everybody looked at as a negative into a positive. That's fantastic.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you even have people who want to listen.
And that's the part that just still baffles me. Like, you want me to come do and what I love to do, and you're going to sit here and listen and let me just tell you stories that I pop up, that just pop up in my head? Like, wow, okay, we're going to do that then.
Teach, you have stories that pop up in your head. Tell me a story of something that was hard in your life that caused you to become so successful.
The story that immediately comes to mind is, you know, you read my bio, and so I was working on some of the biggest shows on television, and so a lot of people don't know that while I was holding it down in Hollywood, I was being held down in my own home, because here I was, this, you know, hugely successful, you know, award-winning television editor, and no one knew that I was being physically and mentally abused by my own husband. And so it came to a head one night where I had come in from a long day of work. I think I had done like a 36-hour shift that day because I had a show that was due. It was The Incredibles for Disney. So I had that show to do. And you know how, Rose, you come home, you come out a long day. I don't care if you've done 8 hours. Sometimes when you've come home, you're just dreaming of just getting in your pajamas and getting in your nice, cozy bed. And so that was my plan the entire time I was driving home. And so I get home. I do manage to get on my pajamas, and about 5 minutes later, my favorite pajamas were ripped, and I found my hands, I found my husband's hands wrapped around my throat. And this time, it was different. You know, there have been other instances where I've been dragged through the house by my hair. I'd been dragged off of a toilet, you know, and pee is still running down my leg. I'd had a tape measure wrapped around my throat, and the thing that saved me was my tape the tape measure broke. And so, but it always seemed like, you know, he was present enough to stop. But this time, this particular night in November of 2009, I could see he had completely checked out, and he was not going to let me go. And I began to pray because I saw my mom's face. You know, my mom and I are really, really close. And I saw my mom's face, and I just began to pray, begging God, you cannot let me die like this. You cannot let me die, because she didn't know. And so she'll live the rest of her life trying to understand how come she didn't see the signs. She talked to her child every day virtually, and she would be beating herself up. And I was like, God, you can't do that to her. So, Rose, I wasn't even praying for my own safety. I was praying because of, you know, my mother. And that really is very, you know, symptomatic of, you know, abused women especially. And just like that, my ex-husband, you know, let me go, and I began to put my life together. You know, I told God, give me 2 weeks, and I began to stay at work all day till I think my ex-husband was asleep, and I would come home after I thought he was asleep. I would pretend I was still asleep when he got up the next morning. So I did this for 2 weeks, and it all came to a head because I was in the middle of a show and knew I just needed a break to figure out what I was going to do, where I was going to live, what was going to be my next step. And so I had planned on, once I finish this show, then that's when I'm leaving. But that got pushed up because I learned that he had created six-figure debt in my name, and I had the unmitigated gall to go into a savings account that I had populated to transfer the money to pay off the debt, and I did it without his permission. And I was at work that day when he found out, and I got the call, and I listened to him threaten me on levels that I knew this was a promise, this wasn't a threat. And it was that day, November 9th, 2009, that I did not go home. And I stayed gone from my house that I bought for my 25th birthday for 2 years. We ended up getting divorced, and my life changed. I ended up writing my first book. That opened up opportunities for me to share the story. You know, my first book was 40 Days to 40, Life Lessons from the Ramblings of My Unfiltered Thoughts, because I was coming up on 40, and I knew that experience plus a lot of other life lessons that people, you know, may could benefit from. And I should be very clear, Rose, I hate writing. I really do. 4 books later, I still hate writing. And it surprises people that I tell them that, but I actually hate writing. I write simply because God tells me to. I write because there is a divine assignment on my life. And that book that I didn't want to write ended up being downloaded almost 10,000 times in 2 days on 6 continents.
Wow,
and
that's fantastic.
It changed the game of what I thought my life would be. And I continued being a TV editor for, you know, another couple of years after that book came out. And then one day, God said, it's time. This part of your life is over. You're going to leave television on this level. And in February of 2015, I left my show, Bar Rescue, for Spike TV as an editor, and I have not looked back. And I love my life now. Can you tell? I love what I get to do with my life now.
Well, it's really, you know, I can relate to everything you're saying. And the bottom line is that when you're a bird in a cage and you're being, you know, you're basically conditioned and trained in the cage, and you know, and so you can only come out when they let you out. And so people are afraid, and of course, you know, nobody wants to get divorced, and all these different thoughts and everything, and fear comes
right
into the mind when you're being abused, of course. And so once you break away and that little bird starts flying around,
mm-hmm.
and you feel free and you can be
yep.
yourself and express yourself, and God allowed you to do that, and I, you know, I'm so grateful and proud of you, and that, you know, you took the chance and you did what you needed to do to be free of the abuse. So today, with a mission to make God smile, you say, and be somebody's answered prayer,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I understand that you wake up every day committed to love on God's kids by living up to her moniker as the world's greatest hugger. What does that mean?
Yes.
Why is the greatest hugger important?
Well, there was a gentleman at my church named Mr. Robert Tolan, and he would stand and greet us every, you know, Sunday, and his hugs, for those 15 or 20 seconds, Rose, all was right with the world, and it was inexplicable. Like, we all would talk about it all the time, and it was just inexplicable that when Mr. Tolan hugged you, nothing else mattered. Like, you just felt loved. And I got a phone call one day that Mr. Tolan had suddenly passed. And my very selfish reaction was, oh, my God, no more Mr. Tolan's hugs. And I had to snap out of it because I'm like, Tej, that was so selfish of you. This man left behind a wife and four kids, and all you're thinking about is his hugs. And I said to God right in that moment, God, whatever you gave Mr. Tolan, can you give it to me? Because I want people to feel that way. And now, you know, it tickles me because people call my hugs an experience. It tickles me that, you know, I can stay, I can speak and, you know, go back to my table or wherever, you know, they have me afterwards. And I stand there and just hug people. And there's a line. And now somebody sent me a message the other day. It was two people battling over who I gave the best hug to. And what people don't understand is that moment that God allows me to hold you, I want you to know that you matter. I want you to know that you're loved. And, you know, the people closest to us take us for granted. And so there was one time I went to a cast party with my sister, and she introduced me to one of her friends who I obviously gave a hug to. And so when he came out of the hug, he was like, wow, that was a great hug. And my sister goes, what? What is so special about the hugs? I don't get it. What is so special about the hugs? And he goes, because I felt loved. And that made me melt, Rose, because in that moment I realized God had really answered my prayer, that I
yes.
wanted to have that same experience, that people would have that same experience with me than that I had with Mr. Tolan. And so now me speaking or teaching media or, you know, whenever I'm doing something live, it really is a hidden agenda. I'm just trying to think of ways I can go hug people without somebody thinking I'm crazy. You know, it's just an opportunity that I get to, okay, I'm going to speak to y'all, but in exchange, can I get a hug? Can I give you a hug? That really is what it's kind of turned out to be. But, yeah, I do. I wake up asking God every day how to be a SAP, somebody's answered prayer.
Well, you know, in the 80s, the police had a motto, and it was hugs, not drugs. So
yes,
maybe you're
I
saving somebody's
that.
Lives. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh, hugs, not drugs. And so, you know, sometimes a hug can change the way people think and
yep.
wake them up. You just never know, because a lot of people who are, you know, have problems think that they're alone and isolated and nobody cares. So maybe your hug
right.
is giving them some sort of comfort and empowerment as well. And we're going to take a little break, but as soon as we come back, I want to get into what is the chief noisemaker and what is the Media Mavericks Academy. So hang
Absolutely.
On, don't. And we'll be back with Colombo Chronicles in just a moment, so don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up to Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday at our new time, noon to 1 p.m. on the West Coast and 3 to 4 p.m. break time. Maybe you're off work and maybe it's dinner time. So listen up. And on the East Coast, and also if you're in another state or country, check out the time, bookmark, follow, and share, because we have wonderful guests, dynamic guests from around the world with a myriad of topics, steering authors and experts, and this is a world of information, empowerment, and tips and self-help with the experts that come to help you. So listen up, because we're going to talk some more to our dynamic guest, Tej Mercer. She's the chief noisemaker of Media Mavericks Academy. And if you didn't catch the beginning, as a chief noisemaker of the Media Mavericks Academy, Tej uses her insider expertise as a 20-plus year Hollywood veteran to coach her Mavericks on how to unapologetically rock their own genius on big name TV shows. And she's going to tell you how to book yourself without a publicist. So we're looking forward to that. So, Tej, welcome back. And
thank you.
You're so welcome. And we do have a question for you. What is the chief noisemaker? What does the chief noisemaker do?
Well, the chief noisemaker is one of the names that one of my media mavericks gave to me, because, you know, people used to say the CEO of the company or what have you, but they branded me as the chief noisemaker of Media Mavericks Academy because, Rose, I don't play small in this space. I don't make apologies of what I'm able to accomplish, because what I'm clear on is that I am directly interconnected with people, and especially like authors and experts who have expertise that can actually change the game for people. So it is my job to make noise in the media streets so that people can find me to say, I need help. And I kid you not, Rose, right before we went live, one of my media mavericks posted in our private Facebook group showing her gratitude towards me because of what I have taught her to do of booking herself in the media. It landed, she's a CPA that specializes in fraud, and she posted that she has an elderly, she just landed a very elderly client who they have resolved or have determined that he's been the victim of fraud for many, many years with his CPA rather, and she was thanking me that I taught her to find her voice, because now she gets to help this elderly gentleman. And she was thanking me because he found her because of one of her TV interviews that she had done. And
fantastic.
So for me, that just cemented, because it's not about ego for me. It really is. I tend to attract people who are heart-centered entrepreneurs and coaches and authors because they have a willingness to serve. They have a willingness to solve problems. They have a willingness to be of service. And so that is who I attract in my space. And so I'm clear that I don't get to play small. I don't get to dim my light, because my job is to teach other people how to find their voice, make some noise so they can change lives on this level.
Exactly, and I love that, because
if we aren't sharing our information and we don't know how to share it and how to get it out to the world, then what good is it if we're keeping it to ourselves? So
it does nobody
do
any good. You can see I get really passionate when we start talking about this. It does nobody any good for you to sit at home and sleep on what you can do in your sleep. People are losing sleep over. Things
exactly.
that you take for granted and that you can do effortlessly, folks are at home losing sleep over it. So as the chief noisemaker, it is my job to empower you to find your voice, go make some noise so you can help these people. You know, I turn into a whole different animal when we get into this. Okay, let me calm down because I get really excited about this stuff.
It's okay. When we talk about injustices, I'm the same way.
Well, there you go. So
like,
you understand.
Oh, my passion. So what is, but you know, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, I need a noisemaker. Everybody needs a noisemaker to help us,
mm-hmm.
you know, get our messages out, you know, to help
right.
other people. Because when you said, you know, you're here to serve, that was one of my little sayings that I would say to people when they'd say, oh, thank you so much, you know, for the help. And I would say, I'm here to serve you. You came to me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm here to serve you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if the
mm-hmm.
government remembered that, we'd be in such a better position than this country. So what is Media Mavericks Academy?
Media Mavericks Academy is what I've branded my coaching, my training company as, because I teach you not how to be a media wannabe. When working with me, you transform into a media maverick. My mavericks get invited back. My mavericks know that, you know, that to be handed a platform. Like, I don't take for granted, Ms. Rose, that you have given me a platform to share my knowledge, to share my experiences in the domestic violence, you know, because we don't know who's listening. We don't know who, if that person is at home in that same kind of environment, they need to hear our story. So my mavericks recognize that we don't take for granted when people offer our their platforms to us so that we can serve. And so Media Mavericks is basically, you know, three tiers, where I have a tier called Pimp Your PR. That's for the beginners who, you know, may not necessarily have the budget to work with me on a higher level, but they still have something that they need to make noise about. My signature program that I built Media Mavericks Academy around is my DIY publicity program, and that's where I just dump everything out of my brain onto you. And it teaches you not only how to book yourself and the secrets of how to book yourself, but I teach you how to crush an interview, because there's no sense of you getting booked and you don't know how to crush your interview. And so especially in the TV space, it comes in handy, because TV, you only get 3 to 5 minutes. So I practice harder for a 3 to 5 minute interview on television than I do a 20-minute, 30-minute, or an hour-long, you know, podcast or radio interview, because I'm very specific and strategic with what I want to accomplish when I'm graced with the platform of television. And then finally, on my top-tier level, I call it my Media Mavericks Elite, and it's a Book My Media Tour program that if I take you on as a client, you're working with me one-on-one, I'm guaranteeing you that I'm going to book you three times on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, or CW, somewhere in this country. You get one-on-one coaching by me, and I'm, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm brutal with my coaching for media, but my coaching actually has landed people 5,000 opt-ins from one, you know, interview. So what I do works, and like I said at the beginning, I don't play small in this arena. I have a hashtag that I've started using on social media that it says hashtag I suck at a lot of things, but media ain't one. So I own that there are areas that I'm absolutely weak in. We all have that. However, the one thing that I'm good at unapologetically, and I have the receipts to back it up, is that I'm good at helping people find their voice and making some noise. So I don't play down. I don't play small in that area at all.
So is that what you most enjoy, is serving and making people bring out the best so that they can share their information in just a short span and still be inviting, still be a personality that the stations want to invite back, and also expand their information around the world as well.
Yeah, I love it.
I do. Yeah. I absolutely love it. And that has now ended up branding, because I'm a storyteller too, you know. I love taking people on a journey with my stories. And so my first storytelling client actually came to me and insisted that I coach, and it turned out she's Magic Johnson's wife. Cookie Johnson, the amazing Cookie Johnson. She
wow.
turned out to be my very first, you know, keynote, you know, speaking client. So when you ask me, is this what I enjoy most? Yes, I enjoy helping people tell their stories, whether that's in a 3 to 5 minute television interview or if it's in a 45 minute keynote. I love helping you tell your story.
So if, let's say, that the average person who doesn't have a name and can't afford a publicist,
mm-hmm.
what can they do to get media exposure? Can you give us a little tip?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because publicists typically are $3,000 to $4,000 a month, a good one, the legit ones that are really going to do their job, and they usually want a 3 to 4 month retainer agreement. So you're looking at, you know, around $10,000 for a publicist and no guarantees. Well, the first thing you want to do is you want to look at the landscape everything that I teach applies to radio and print, but my sweet spot, since I've spent 20 years in television, my examples are typically always in television, but apply it to radio and apply it to podcasts too. But when you're looking at making noise, you want to look at the landscape of where you fit. And what I mean by that is sometimes I have people coming to me, Rose, that say they want to be on, they're relationship coaches and they want to be on Steve Harvey. Well, if you study Steve Harvey's show, you got to study the landscape. If you study Steve Harvey's show, he is the relationship coach on his show. The only time he has another person on there talk about a relationship is a celebrity. So if you're not already a celebrity, there's a good chance that you're not going to be the relationship coach on Steve Harvey. Then another, you know, request I always get, well, I want to go on Ellen and give expert advice on XYZ. Well, if you study Ellen, then Ellen does not do, you know, expertise advice. She is a celebrity-driven
right.
show. But if you're looking at, now that's the, you know, that's the negative. I'll just say kind of that's the negative. But now, if you're looking at positioning yourself for Good Morning America, the Today Show, CBS Morning, Good Morning America is an ABC show. ABC is pretty much in every market around our country. You're going to have
right.
a local ABC. So I always teach people that you want to dream national but act local. You can actually write a pitch that will get yourself booked. You can actually, especially when you, if you become a media maverick in my program, and I got time to tell you all the ins and outs, but basically it is absolutely possible for you to get to the right producer to pitch a segment for them to come on the show, for you to go on the show. And here's the thing you also need to understand, that while you're dreaming national, Good Morning America is not going to have you on as a first-time guest, you know, as an expert, and you can't show that you've done anything local. They need to make sure you can handle national television. And you want to start, here's another tip too, guys. You want to start in markets lower than the number 30 market. So let me explain that, Rose, if I can. So
sure.
Number one market is New York. Number two is L.A. I live in L.A. Number three is Chicago. Four is Philly. Dallas is five, and so on and so on and so on. You do not want to make your mistakes in these top markets. If you've never done television, if you've never done media, you want to start in markets in Biloxi, Mississippi, you know, markets that will still get you the logos, though. So even if you do ABC, Biloxi, ABC, Albuquerque, it still earns you the logo as seen on ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. So you're getting
right.
the experience, you're getting the exposure, but you're also gaining the logo.
Right. So important.
Yep.
So then what do you tell your customers or clients
mm-hmm.
about a soundbite? Can you explain, because you hear that word a lot, soundbite,
mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
people don't understand what is a soundbite and why is it important?
Anytime I answer one of Rose's questions, it's a soundbite, basically. A soundbite is an industry term for your answers. I actually like to say it is a yummy nugget that the media will devour. most of the experts that come to me, they come with 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. You know, I'm doing, you know, the Columbo Chronicles. I'm sitting here with 20-plus years floating around in my brain. I don't have time to tell it all. So I have to speak in a way that is still impactful, it still serves your audience, Rose, and it still teaches them something so that they, once they're done with the interview, they can then either continue to come play with me over on my website, or it has just changed their game for their life in that moment. But regardless, to sound effortless, it takes effort. So you have to practice these things. And I do a technique called I drill down your genius, meaning genius is an acronym for give essential nuggets, insights, uses, and systems. So when you're delivering your expertise, it needs to be bite-sized enough that you don't water hose the listeners or the viewers or the readers, even if it's a print article, but it's just enough to move them to their next step, a next needlepoint move. So you want to speak in bite-sized nuggets.
Okay. And so what if you're a person, just an average person, and you want to get more exposure for a book that you've just written and you're a first-time author, let's say. What do you suggest they do?
Okay. So my sweet spot is nonfiction authors, that have, you know, an expertise or, you know, whether you're helping our lives or changing our lives. When you're a nonfiction author, the last thing you want to do is approach a producer or an editor about promoting your book. That is a promote is a bad word in Media Maverick land. You want to serve. So you want to look at your book and figure out how does it serve, what myths does it bust, what tips does it give, and you want to package that into a segment. So even with, you know, me interviewing through Rose, Rose know that I am a media expert. I can sit here all day and tell you all about my programs. That does not serve you. What serves you is me telling you these tips, these secrets, these tricks that how you can get exposure instead of me promoting my program.
Exactly. We're talking to Tiege Mercer, and she's the chief noisemaker, and she's also the expert with her company, Media Mavericks Academy. And so why don't you tell us, what if somebody's an introvert and very shy? How do you help them come out of their shell?
Oh, I love that question. So I get a lot of people who are introverts. And I've actually have clients, Rose, believe it or not, I have several media mavericks who have come to me saying, I don't want to do media. And I'm like, but that's what I do. So why and they end up telling me, because being around you, I know that there's something else that I'm supposed to get from you. And I would respond to them, okay, but you know you're not getting a discount, right? Because I'm still teaching media. But what I started learning is, one of the things that gift that God has given me is I really do help you find your voice. And the one of the ways that I help you make that mindset switch is if you were sitting on the cure to cancer, you wouldn't be quiet about it. If you were sitting on the cure to AIDS, you wouldn't be quiet about it. What makes what you are sitting on your story that can help someone, what makes you think that it's okay for you to be quiet about it? And I said it earlier, people are losing sleep over what you can do in your sleep. So how selfish do you have to be to not dig deep and find your voice to go help people? That's why I say I typically attract in my circle the helpers. You know, like Mr. Rogers has that great quote of find the helpers. I attract the helpers because it's the people that who are introverts, but know that there's something in them, that God has given them a gift. There's something bigger in them that forces them to get out of their comfort zone, be the introvert 23 hours, 57 minutes, and 0 seconds, and give me 3 minutes of you being an extrovert on television to serve somebody. And usually what has happened is that now those same Mavericks, Rose, who came to me saying, I don't want to do media, they're doing Facebook Lives. sharing their story. They're making noise in the way that right now is comfortable for them. And now they're I have one maverick who specifically was like, I don't even want to show my face. I see her face everywhere now. She's a LinkedIn gangster. I call her a LinkedIn gangster. Like she has one of she's only one of like 40 people in the world who have a Google and LinkedIn certification. When she came to me, she was clear and very adamant. I don't want nobody to see my face. Now she's speaking. She's doing webinars. She's all over the place simply because you don't get to exist around me playing small and being quiet. I will insist you go find your voice, make some noise, and help some people.
So for people who are, like, clueless and they don't have a clue about how to take a first step of, you know, getting on radio or television or even, like you said, Facebook, social media, what would be the first thing you would say to them to encourage them?
So I'm going to give them my biggest secret right now, my biggest secret that can change the game. So if you're listening, you need to come a little closer to the speaker because you do not want to miss this secret because I'm telling you, this is it. I teach this concept. I didn't create the concept. I just, you know, put my TJ spin on it. It's called newsjacking. Newsjacking is a term coined by PR expert David Meerman Scott. And newsjacking simply means that you insinuate yourself into the conversation of a social media trend or news event. My translation on that is butt into the dang on conversation and let folks know just how beast you are. What does that look like on a practical level? I'll give you a great example. I'm glad you asked. So I have a client who she is a hair loss specialist. She's one of my one-on-one clients. She's a hair loss specialist, and the movie Black Panther just came out, you know, maybe a month or so ago. And there's this scene. If you haven't seen the movie, you should. But if you haven't, I'm not giving away a spoiler. But there's a scene where these beautiful Wakandan warriors, you know, they rock their bald heads with pride. They have no hair. But for this particular moment, they had to wear disguise, and so she put on a wig. As the battle was getting ready to take place, a fight was getting ready to break out, she ripped her wig off to reveal who she really was. And so I newsjacked that moment and wrote a pitch for my hair loss client that started with the line of, a Wakanda warrior rips off her wig by choice, but 46 million women have to wear wigs by force. That pitch, and I went on and, you know, wrote something else in the pitch, but that pitch, Rose, that one pitch landed her ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. That one pitch.
Wow.
That one pitch.
That's I love it, and that's fantastic, too. And I mean, that's something that's happening all over the world. I mean, it's not just happening in the USA, so that was that was huge, and that
exactly.
One pitch. And
yep.
So,
I mean, there's always something, regardless if you are a Trump supporter or not, it doesn't matter to me, but he's always doing something that you can newsjack. You can either, and I'm very clear of stand on, you know, what side of the fence you're on. I don't care. But get into the conversation. Whether you agree with him, pitch that. Whether you don't agree with him, pitch that. There is something always, and don't believe me, I booked another client based on President Trump and Justin Trudeau having a women's summit, and I pitched another client of, you know, how women can break through the glass ceiling in a Trump presidency. She got booked on ABC and NBC immediately off of that pitch. There's
That's
always
fantastic.
Something going on in social media or the news that you can newsjack.
Isn't that the truth? And so, unfortunately, Tej Mercer, we've come to the end of the interview. God, you've given us a wealth of information. You'll have to come back and share more information with us in the future. And so now is your time to shine to tell us about your company and to tell us what contact information you have so our audience can get in touch with you.
Thank you for reminding me of that because I simply forgot. I forgot that I wrote my fourth book is a quick read guide, 20 minutes. I'm giving it to you free. Just go get it. It breaks down newsjacking and how you can start making some noise. So go to IamANoiseMaker.com. IamANoiseMaker.com. It's a 20-minute read that you can read faster than you putting your kids to bed, and it will change the game. I give you all kinds of examples, suggestions, and everything. Just start there and start making some noise.
And is there information on how they can contact you on that site?
Yes, there's plenty. If you just start there, that all I want to do is serve you. So let me serve you first, and then once you get served, you can then it has all the information of how to come play with me later. But if you're sitting on some expertise, here, the last thing I'll say, Rose, is my mantra is when you know you are the answer to somebody's prayer or have the solution to someone's problem, you have a responsibility to find your voice and make some noise.
Thank you so much, and God bless you, and keep up the good work, and we'll talk again. Thank you,
Thanks,
Tej
Rose.
Mercer.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. And Tej Mercer has left the building. And again, go to her site, IamANoiseMaker.com, and you get a free gift. And enjoy and learn and empower yourself and become a person who is a great server of mankind, because your information is just as invaluable as mine and anyone else who takes that first step. So contact Tej Mercer, and first of all, she wants you to accept her free gift, IamANoiseMaker.com, and then maybe you will be contacting her as well to become a new person with a new personality and a new career. Who knows? Unless you take a risk. And on that note, remember, injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me. But together, we can make a positive difference. Remember that you are never alone when you tune in to Columbo Chronicles Live at Blog Talk Radio. God bless you, God bless America, and God bless everyone in the world.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.